This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome to the House Commerce Committee. I'd like to welcome everybody here today. I'd also like to welcome those that are listening over the internet. We do have some pages here today, some new pages, and I see one of them's already busy. Would you please identify yourself to the group here while you're standing right in the middle?
My name is Lexi Weber, and I'm from Britain.
Well, thank you. And welcome, Lexi. It's a new crew started this week, so they're here for 2 weeks at a time. This is their first week. They're moving right along. I'm impressed. They haven't skipped a beat. At this time, I'd ask the secretary to take the roll.
Representatives Blake.
Here.
Fargin.
Here.
Greenfield. Jensen.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Krebs.
Here.
Nordstrom.
Here.
Nygaard.
Here.
Pitts.
Here.
Solberg.
Here.
Solem.
Here.
Dreyer.
Here.
And Round.
Here. We do have a quorum. I'm sure everybody has spent time reading the minutes of our last meeting. We have a motion by Representative Krebs to approve the minutes, seconded by Representative Dreyer. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. As you look at the agenda this morning, there's going to be some flip-flopping going around on the agenda due to some activities going on in another committee in which a prime sponsor won't be able to make it here right at 10 o'clock. So we are going to start with 1098, and I would like to advise those that are here today that House Bill 1098, unless there's somebody here from out of town that cannot be back on Friday, we are going to defer action on 1098 until Friday. The sponsor had requested that. We have some people that are coming into town specifically for the bill. They could not make it today, so we are going to defer any activity on that one until then. Unless there's somebody here today that cannot make it back on Friday that would like to testify, is there anybody here on 1098 that will be unable to be here on Friday? Seeing none, the chair is going to defer action on 1098 until Friday. The agenda after that, we will first start off with House Bill 1100 will be the first bill up today. Then we'll move after that to House Bill 1026 will be second on the agenda. Following 1026, we'll then go to 1095 or 1094 and then 1095. So everybody has that order. It'll be 1100, 1026, 1094, then 1095. We have a number of, looks like students here today. Where are you from?
Scotland High School.
Scotland High School. Well, welcome to the South Dakota Legislature, specifically the Commerce Committee. We are a fun committee. We do a lot of important policy decisions up here. We think it's exciting, but some other people think we get into a lot of policy discussion that they don't understand, but it is a very fun committee. We have a lot of interesting bills that come up in here. And we do have a couple of gentlemen in the front row that are here visiting today that they're here for some other legislation, but we got Joe Armstrong from the Tennessee House of Representatives, and along with him is Reverend Howard Russell. Thank you folks for visiting, specifically South Dakota, also our state legislature and the capital here. We hope you enjoy it here. The first bill up today is 1100, and since the prime sponsor, that happens to be myself, I'm going to turn the gavel over to my vice chair for the hearing on 1100.
The beauty of being paperless. I'm the only one with a copy. House Bill 1100 is a bill to revise where business records of insurance producers may be maintained. I'll start off with any proponents for House Bill 1100, Representative Rounds.
And good morning, members of the House Commerce Committee. Representative Tim Rounds from District 24, which is Hugh Stanley and Sully counties. I bring to you House Bill 1100 on behalf of, I would call them captive insurance agents and the companies they represent. Presently, South Dakota law requires that an insurance agent keep all business records at the agent's place of business. The records are to be kept, or these records are dealing with the agent's solicitation and business, which includes the name of the customer, the address of the customer, the form of the policy, the general coverage provided, and the policy number. These records, in current statute, are to be kept for a period of 5 years. There are two kinds of agents selling insurance products in South Dakota. The first one are independent agents. Most you're familiar with both of them, but independent agents, they sell for more than one company. You'll go into an agency and they'll have a number of different companies that they represent and sell for. Then there are captive agents. They sell only the insurance products offered by a single company. And we can all think of examples. American Family, State Farm, maybe Farmers. These are agents that sell specifically for that company. They are not necessarily employees, but they have entered into agreements with the company to represent only that company. Keeping records at the agent's office makes sense where there are independents and they represent multiple insurance companies. You have a number of different companies. Keeping those records there does make sense. But keeping those at the agents, I think it makes much more sense when the insurance company owns that product. They own the business. So keeping it at the agency doesn't make as much sense as a company keeping it on file. When the records are maintained at the company headquarters or regional offices, as permitted by this bill, they are more likely to be preserved electronically and for a longer period of time, which is actually helpful to the consumer and to the division of insurance, should reference to those records become important for whatever reason. They're also protected against fire or other destruction or unauthorized access. This bill was drafted with the help of the Division of Insurance in order to identify the difference between an independent agent who will continue to keep the records at his or her office and a captive agent whose records will now be permitted to be kept in the company office. We have defined a captive agent as anyone who receives 75% or more of his or her producer income from the sale of products for one company or its affiliates or subsidiaries. This time I am going to let some others talk on the bill, and I'll remain available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1100?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. I represent State Farm Insurance Company. We support the legislation and participate in its drafting. As was pointed out by Representative Rounds as the prime sponsor, this bill makes sense because we do have many captive agents in the state who sell products for a company or its subsidiaries. State Farm agents are agents that are captive agents. They enter into agreements with our company, and in those agreements, the products that they sell, the materials that they generate in the process of selling those products remain the business asset and the confidential information of the company. So it makes sense that those records should be maintained with the company as opposed to the agent's office. So with the help of the Division of Insurance, we sat down and tried to figure out how we ought to properly define captive agents so that we were only affecting captive agents that are working for a company through what is usually an independent agent agreement with them, so that those records could be kept at a company's regional or main office as opposed to in the agent's office. I agree with the comments of Representative Rounds. I believe those records are better kept in an electronic form. They are easily accessed. I can tell you from experience that when the Division of Insurance asks for them, we're able to generate them immediately and deliver them in a short time. So in many ways, I believe the records are better preserved for a longer period of time if they are preserved at the corporate office than in an agent's office in a file drawer somewhere. With any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any other proponents for House Bill 1100?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Commerce Committee. My name is Mike Shaw, and I'm a registered lobbyist for American Family Insurance and for Property Casualty Insurers Association of America. PCI, as it's called, is the largest trade association of property casualty companies in this country. And State Farm came to us with this legislation. American Family has captive agents here, and PCI members, some of their companies have captive agents here, and reviewed this with us before they introduced it. We are very much in favor of this legislation and appreciate their work, and certainly appreciate your favorable consideration of the legislation. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1100? Other proponents? Seeing none, any opponents for House Bill 1100? Seeing none, we will open it up to committee questions.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Representative Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Question for Representative Rounds. Mr. Chair. May I ask you a question about clarification? I know that 75% of the business and activities would be defined as a captive agent, where they keep that in the place of the captive business location. Clarify the part, though, about the individual agents who may work for a company that sells a variety or sells for several companies. If they quit, what happens at that point? Can they take the records with as an individual agent if they go to a different company?
Mr. Chair, if I understand the question correctly, you're talking about an independent agent.
Correct.
Who is in business for themselves. It is their business. It is the policies they wrote between their contract with the insurance company they represent. So those records belong to the agent. He is responsible, he or she is responsible to maintain and keep those records. If they are the agent of record, they have that responsibility unless they sell or transfer ownership of those records or those policies to another agent. As long as they are the solicitor, they are the persons that sold that policy, they are responsible until they turn them over to somebody else. Does that?
Mr. Vice Chair, follow up?
And if I may, he is the chair today.
Okay. So chair. Mr. Chair, follow up. Question to clarify just a little bit further. I'm not just talking about an individual agent that, you know, owns the agency themselves, but if an individual works for an agency that sells different premiums for different companies and they quit, that's my question, is if they sell for a multiple number of companies.
Mr. Chair, if I'm understanding right, if we have an agency where they have 10 agents working in there, that is an agreement between that agent and the owner of the agency. Those records are kept within the agency because they are the property of that agency.
Representative Nygaard.
Thank you. Another question for Representative Rounds. Representative Rounds, you mentioned that the definition is 75% or more of the premium remaining with the captive. Or that would be a definition of a captive. Is that the same as this bill we worked on last week, House Bill 1050, or is there a discrepancy between those two bills?
If, Mr. Chair, this would be a separate issue than what we worked on last week. This deals with the agent itself and not the company. This is the agent who represents that company, a captive agent.
Well, I guess I'm somewhat confused by why we define captive in one bill, 1050, and captive in House Bill 1100 with a different percentage. Am I reading that right?
Mr. Chair?
I see Mr. Moe Randy smiling back there. Could I defer to?
Defer to Mr. Randy Moses from the Division of Insurance.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Moses, man of all the answers.
I'll try, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. A captive insurance company and a captive agents are totally different things. And a captive agent refers to somebody who works for a one individual company. A captive insurance company is quite different in that it's a subsidiary corporation formed by the parent company to accept that insurance business. So they're completely different entities and not related at all.
Follow up. Don't we? Follow ups, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you for that clarification, because I'm sure many of our listening audiences, a number of them in addition to myself, were confused by that, using the same term relatively close in time last week and this week on captives. And when I heard Mr. Teason testify to a great number of captive agents in South Dakota, that also conflicted with testimony last week that said we had one captive insurance company in this state. So you can understand my confusion. Thanks for clearing that up.
Certainly.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will open up to committee action and discussion. Representative Nygaard.
I move do pass.
Motion do pass by Representative Nygaard, second by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion on that action?
I would just say that I move do pass because it's once again clear that all the segments from the Division of Insurance to the industry itself are in favor of this bill, and it makes good common sense.
Any other discussion on the action? Seeing none, Secretary, will please call the roll.
Representatives Blake.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1100 passes 13-0.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nygaard.
I move consent.
Second.
Move consent, Representative Nygaard. Second by Representative Krebs. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, nay.
Aye.
House Bill 1100 will go to the floor consent calendar. And I will pass the gavel over to our chair.
Thank you, Representative Dreyer. Thank you, folks, for realizing a good bill. As I had mentioned before, that was the first one that was a sponsored bill outside of an agency. And when you see those, the chair will not be, the sponsors will be the one responsible in caucus on those bills, so, or on the floor. Okay, we do have, as I mentioned earlier, a change in our agenda. The second bill we're going to take up today, this one, I think we all saw some amendments come at us on it, so it's going to be an interesting bill. House Bill 1026, this is an act to revise certain provisions permitting cities and counties to issue first full-service restaurant on-sale alcohol licenses. This time the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1026. And if you could have the, if you've got something to hand out, have the pages distribute.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Matt Fonder with the Department of Revenue and Regulation. I've had the opportunity to speak with many of you about the department's House Bill 1026, so I will try to be brief today. The purpose of House Bill 1026 was simply to clarify the statutes which were passed as a result of last year's Senate Bill 126, which allowed cities and counties to adopt an ordinance and issue additional on-sale alcohol licenses to full-service restaurants so long as they met certain criteria. After the statutory provisions from SB 126 took effect, the department received a request for declaratory ruling concerning the applicability of the provisions to various situations. A declaratory ruling hearing was held before the Secretary of the Department, and on October 24, 2008, he issued his ruling. That ruling was not appealed to Circuit Court, but the Department still felt the need to run this bill to clarify those statutes. The Department has been in discussions and has discussed the bill at length with representatives from the Municipal League, the Licensed Beverage Dealers, the Development Group of South Dakota, and others, and I believe that we have come to a general consensus on this. As a result of those conversations, the Department has submitted an amendment to House Bill 1026. As you'll note from the amendment, it has two key components. First, under the current law, the test for a full-service restaurant on-sale alcohol license is that not more than 40% of the establishment's revenues can come from the sale of alcohol or alcoholic beverages. With the amendment, that test has been changed to at least 60% of the establishment's revenues must come from the sale of food and non-alcoholic beverages. Second, under the current law, if a licensee contests the fair market value determination, which is made by the city or county, they must appeal that determination straight to Circuit Court. With the amendment, any objection to the fair market value determination must be made to the city or county first within 30 days of that determination. The governing board of the city or county would then be required to conduct a hearing and determine the current fair market value of an on-sale license in that city or county. The governing board would make a final determination, and that final determination could then be appealed to Circuit Court. In the department's opinion, the amendment does not substantially change the current law or House Bill 1026. The department believes that the amendment is an improvement to the original bill and respectfully ask that the House Commerce Committee recommend that House Bill 1026 move forward with the amendment. Thank you. I'll stand by for any questions.
And thank you for your testimony. Any further proponents on House Bill 1026? And the chair will allow latitude on discussion concerning the amendment, which was passed out. We have not moved the amendment, but we will discuss that at a later time, but I'll allow testimony to both.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Those of you who were here for the liquor battles last year will be relieved to know I think we're all in agreement this year. And hopefully this will be something we concur with what the department has said. We agree with the amendment and do not think it substantially changes the reality of what happened last year with 126. So with that, we would ask your support for the bill and the amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman. I represent Lloyd Companies out of Sioux Falls, and we appreciate being part of the discussion and agree with the amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Further proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I represent the Licensed Beverage Dealers of South Dakota. We support the bill as amended, or with the proposed amendment. Our organization filed the petition for a declaratory ruling requesting that the department interpret certain provisions of the of Senate Bill 126 that was enacted last year because we felt there were some ambiguities. And the department issued a declaratory ruling. We appreciated that and proposed some additional amendments to the department and worked with the department to make the changes that you see before you. And I just want to say on behalf of my client that we greatly appreciate the time and effort that Department of Revenue, Mr. Fonder in particular, and his colleagues have put into this issue. And we appreciate the committee's time on this too.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty.
Thank you.
Further proponents on House Bill 1026. Are there any further proponents? Seeing none, I will open it up to any opponents on House Bill 1026. Any opponents? Any opponents on 1026? Seeing none, I will open it up to committee questions. Are there questions of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask a question of Tim Doherty, please? I know that you mentioned that you asked for a ruling on some of the language. Can you clarify the ambiguity of the language, specifically lines one, where we're taking out not more than 40% or 40% and inserting at least 60%? tell me what the ambiguity truly was there and why we changed that language from 40 to 60, or I should say not more than 40 into at least 60.
Well, I thought about it in watching the Sioux Falls City Council discuss a proposed ordinance to enact the restaurant, full-service restaurant liquor license. And during that discussion, the city staff and the counselors and others referred to the test as a 60% food test. And I think that's what most people envision as a 60% food test. And it just seemed to make sense to us that that would be the test as opposed to 40% alcohol. Because it's intended to be a license for a restaurant. And we've always thought that the test should be based on restaurant sale, food sales, not alcohol sales.
Yes, I do have a follow-up. Please stay seated, yes. Tim. And then clarifying Section 35-4-110, which is stated in this bill, that is the clarification of the bill, Senate Bill 126, that creates these new licenses for non-smoking establishments only, the expansion of it. I think that's an important clarification for the audience and those listening on the Internet, that these are expansions of non-smoking.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And that was in the bill that we originally proposed last year.
Further questions of the committee? Are there any additional questions of the committee? Seeing no further questions, the chair will close it to public testimony. I will open up to committee discussion and or action with a reminder that we do have amendment for the printed bill 1026FA, which has been discussed, but no action has been taken. Representative Dreyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move amendment 1026FA.
Second.
Motion, Representative Dreyer, to amend House Bill 1026 with 1026FA, seconded by Representative Krebs. Any discussion on the motion? No discussion? Seeing none, this will be a voice vote. All those in favor of amending House Bill 1026 with 1026FA will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1026 is so amended. Representative Nygaard.
Yes, I'd like to move the passage of due pass on 1026.
Second. We have a motion by Representative Nygaard, due pass on House Bill 1026 as amended, seconded by Representative Dreyer. Any comments, Representative Nygaard?
Yes, I do. I've gone through all these changes, and I'd looked at them, the amendment beforehand, and it's no wonder if there was such a controversial bill last year that things went got a little confusing, and I think this really clears it up, makes it easily readable, and so that it can be interpreted properly in the future.
Any further comments on the due pass motion? Any further comments? Prior to voting, I would like to commend those involved, Mr. Fonder, the different entities involved on this. As we've heard in testimony this morning, as you've probably heard in the hallway, especially you new people to the session, this was a tough battle last year. And what this will do and what this does is it allows communities to make that decision. It's a local control issue. It allows them to bring in additional licenses for the sale of alcohol, but they have to meet certain criteria, including the, and with the amendment, 60% food test. It's basically for restaurants, non-smoking. Gives some of these larger communities especially that opportunity to promote some economic development through the addition of restaurants, maybe some chain restaurants, et cetera. It was something that needed to be done. I think this is a good cleanup bill. I'm hoping that it isn't a magnet as it moves through the House and then on to the Senate, but a lot of hard work went into that, and I would like to thank those that worked on it. This time, the motion at hand is to pass on House Bill 1026 as amended. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Blake.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield. Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Browns.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1026 will move to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Representative Greenfield.
I'd move consent.
Second.
We have a motion consent by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Krebs. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in, Representative Dreyer, did you? You raised your hand like you.
I was just going to say this is simple cleanup language, so it.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, this might prevent the bill from becoming the magnet that you spoke of. So I think, you know, as has been pointed out very well by people before me, the folks all came to the table. It should be a slam dunk, and I'd like to see us expedite the process if at all possible.
Thank you. Any further comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of consent, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1026 as amended will move to the floor on the consent calendar. I'm going to keep this bill to myself and explain it in caucus. Eldon, do you want to take care of it in yours? Next bill up on our agenda today is House Bill 1094. 1094 is an act to require applicants for licensure as real estate brokers, broker associates, salespersons, property managers, residential rental agents, auctioneers, home inspectors, and timeshare agents and such licensees who are subject of a disciplinary investigation to submit to a state and federal criminal background check. We are waiting on Representative Hunt. Was there somebody who was going to go get him? He was going to have his intern in here. Can you go to Judiciary, please, and fetch Representative Hunt? The committee will be at ease. We'll take a recess for 5 minutes. Committee will come back into order. Before we move on to our next bill, Representative Krebs, I'll allow you a personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We are honored, myself and my fellow representative from District 10, Roger Hunt, to have the room full of blue shirts, which is the Brandon Day today at the legislature. Brandon is a continuously growing community. If you look at everybody here today, a lot of them own small businesses in the community and contribute a lot of money and a lot of jobs to our community. But it's such a beautiful community, and we're appreciative. And don't forget to go eat, because it will be the best food you'll ever have with Tony's Catering. Great food, so go down and enjoy it at the Speaker's Lobby and House Lobby.
Thank you, Representative Krebs, and thank you, folks from Brandon, for being here today. We appreciate groups like this coming in. Talk about your community to the legislators. Helps us get familiar with your community, so thank you for being here. Okay, back on to the agenda, back at the work at hand here, House Bill 1094. I've already read the bill, so at this time the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1094. And good morning, Representative Hunt. Sorry to drag you out of such important duties in Judiciary, but I think commerce takes precedence.
That's probably debatable, Mr. Chairman, but I apologize for being late. We were kind of in the middle of a vote on a bill, and I need to finish it off. Again, I'm Roger Hunt, state representative from District 10, and I'm here to address 1094. But before I say that, I do want to emphasize what Representative Krebs just noted. You'll notice that I'm pretty healthy, and Tony's Catering is attributed to that over the years, and that's what you're going to have today at noon. So we appreciate the Brandon Chamber of Commerce and Tony's Catering to come and feed us all. Hopefully you won't all look like me afterwards, but so be it. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, some of you that were in the House a year ago may recall that we dealt with the issue of, or we tried to deal with the issue of making sure that appraisers of real estate.
1094.
Yeah, did I say? No, I'm sorry. No, I know, but I'm just making some introductory remarks. It's all right. You'll recall that a year ago, some of you will recall that we were dealing with the fact of potential of influence on appraisers. There were some questions about whether or not there was any undue influence. The appraisers, the realtors, bankers, brokers were all trying to come together with legislation. We were not successful in the last session, but during the last 12 months, those respective groups have gotten together, and as a result of that, there is legislation that has been presented to the 84th legislative session to deal with this. And that's just by way of history to explain in part how we've got this legislative bill, 1094, as well as 1095, as well as an additional piece of legislation. This is all kind of culminated in this legislation. 1094, as is obvious, deals simply with the matter of requiring background checks and whatnot for three different categories of licensed individuals: realtors, timeshare managers, and home inspectors. You'll see that that information is provided for each one of those categories in which there would be background checks authorized as such. It's a fairly straight and simple idea of making sure that the individuals that are licensed in these three categories are proper people that have not, in essence, committed any violations that's going to interfere with their service as licensed individuals. Encourage your support of 1094. I know that we have a couple of other proponents, and so I'll finish my comments on 1094 and stand by for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Additional proponents on House Bill 1094.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Dean Krogman. I represent the South Dakota Association of Realtors, of which we have approximately 1,600 members throughout the state. You'll notice in this bill, this is a trend. You as a legislature has probably dealt with four or five of these background check bills in the last few years, and it's in the banking industry, the mortgage industry, the healthcare industry, broker industry in general as far as stocks and so on. And we are, anybody that has a professional license deals with the public. This is happening throughout the country, and that's why we have this request in today. Now, the numbers, the list in the title are the groups that are regulated by the Real Estate Commission. We are an association, and the Real Estate Commission sets the rules, the laws, and so on how we operate under that license. This would be for new agents, a requirement for new agents coming in. You'll notice in the bill in all three sections that in the case of disciplinary action on existing licensees, the commission may require that. It's not mandatory. If there is a complaint made to the commission and they have to deal with it, it is up to them to decide if it's sufficient enough to require this. Otherwise, this is mandatory for the initial licensee. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. We'll hold questions till testimony is complete. Any further proponents on 1094? And good morning, Mr. Eznick. It's good to see you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the House Commerce Committee, I am Dennis Eznick, and I am the Vice Chair of the South Dakota Real Estate Commission. I am here in support of House Bill 1094 this morning. The South Dakota Real Estate Commission is made up of five members, and two of those members are lay people and three of them are industry people. I represent the lay people. We worked this during the summer with the association, Real Estate Association, on drafting this bill. And we feel that because of the charge that the Real Estate Commission has to protect the public interest in real estate transactions, that this is certainly an appropriate thing for us to do. Right now, even though that we have some ability to do criminal background checks, is at a local level. And for us to tap into the federal system, the FBI system, we need legislation and we need a statute to do that. This would do that for us. The reason that this is important to us is because we have more and more people that are coming into this state and applying for licenses with our commission that are from out of state. And we do not have much ability to check the backgrounds of these people. And when you consider what these people that we license actually do, where they represent the citizens and probably the biggest investment that the majority of the citizens will make in their life, and that's their home. They have access to their home. They have access to the home when children are there. They probably could have access to even personal records within the home when they're wandering around the home. And we just feel that in order to protect the public, this is necessary. We are supporting the bill, and I'd be glad to answer any questions at the time that's appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Yasnik. Further proponents? House Bill 1094, any additional proponents? Last call for any additional proponents. Seeing none, I'll open it up to any opponents to House Bill 1094, any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we'll open it up to committee questions. And Mr. Krogman, could I ask a question of you? I like that attitude. And welcome back, Mr. Krogman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
My question, and it may be in the bill, I just didn't see it. This information that is gathered with the applicant shall submit to a state and federal background investigation. These records are kept someplace, I would imagine, and in the era of open government, the pushing for open records, what information, if I approach you and say, I want to know the background check on this realtor, what information is allowed to me as a citizen?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I really cannot answer that. I would like the commission to answer that in terms of how they, even applications and the information on applications as to how confidential that is. And I think Dee is here that can answer that.
Okay, I'll ask Mr. Yasnik. I should have started with you to begin with. Apologies. Do you need me to rephrase the question?
No, I think that, Mr. Chairman, that I understand the question. I'll answer it in this way. Those criminal records, especially the FBI records, are very, very confidential. And even though that we would get those records to help us make a determination on whether or not a person should be licensed, we would not be able to share that information with anybody else. Probably the only way that that information would come out is if we were to act on that information and deny a license and were had to hold a hearing based on the denial, then that would become a public record. But then the applicant would be well aware of what was going on. But other than that, that information is a requirement both of the federal people and the state people that it is confidential.
Okay, thank you. Further questions before you get up and leave? Further questions of the committee? Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there, by rule, regulation, or statute, criteria laid out? First off, I applaud this bill and tend to vote for it because I think it does go a long way to protect homeowners and individuals in this state from people who are given or are in a real fiduciary relationship. However, when you get that information, let's say a minor in consumption, someone who 10 years ago had a DUI, are there rules in place that determine?
Very broadly, we have a rule in place on moral turpitude. You know, we break these down into categories. Felonies, misdemeanors, probably moral turpitude is a simple way to do that. The commission, on their consideration of those applications, consider all of those things. And I would have to say that one of the challenges that a commissioner faces is when we have an application for somebody that that probably has had a minor brush with the law 10 or 15 years ago and has led a exemplary life since then. And we usually require, when something like this happens, that they have some references, that people come in and substantiate that, yes, this person is a good person and they are leading a good life. But there are various ways that we look at those kinds of things, but they all are considered. And it depends. Some of this may be in open hearing. Some of it may be in closed hearing with the individuals. We do have the right, when we're dealing with these kinds of things, to close the hearing and to go into executive session, because it does involve the personal background of people.
Mr. Chairman.
Paula.
Thank you. So moral turpitude, is that defined as a felony conviction?
No. Moral turpitude would be things like maybe they were involved with the passing a bad check. Maybe they were involved in a slander, something like that. A felony conviction is separate and apart from moral turpitude.
Thank you very much.
For the questions of the committee. Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Eastnick. This time I'll close it to public testimony and open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Dreyer.
Move to pass.
We have a motion, Representative Dreyer, do pass, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion on the do pass motion? Representative Dreyer.
Just wanted to encourage your vote for a do pass on this bill. It's a good bill. It will... no opponents to it, and it'll help to, as a real estate agent myself, I think it'll help us to ensure that we have professional brokers out in the field and help to continue to develop the trust between clients and brokers themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dreyer. Further comments on the do pass motion on House Bill 1094? Before we vote on this, I do support the bill. I think it's a good-looking piece of legislation. And I asked a question earlier. One of my concerns is if you have an applicant and somewhere down the line somebody disagrees with the individual on a transaction, my worry is where will they file some order to request all this information that was gathered? And I feel comfortable that that information is not available, because it does pertain, it does have, you know, a criminal background check and all that information does have some private information, which I think should not be subject to the individual that is requesting it. So I am going to support the bill. It's a good piece of legislation. That being said, the motion at hand is do pass on House Bill 1094. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Blake.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield. Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1094 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We have a motion by Representative Dreyer for consent, seconded by Representative Fargin. Any comments on the consent motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It will be due pass on the debate calendar, because we had a nay. And I think I know, understand the reasoning for that. It needs to be discussed on the floor. Okay. Sorry, Representative Font, but we'll get the next one maybe. Okay. Moving on to House Bill 1095. 1095 is an act to include the improper influence of a real estate appraisal by a real estate licensee to the acts constituting unprofessional conduct. At this time, the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1095.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, State Representative Roger Hunt, District 10. This bill, 1095, is a kind of a continuation of the desire of the Real Estate Commission to kind of self-police. And in this particular case, you will notice that the change to the statute seeks to add one additional act or event to the unprofessional conduct list for real estate licensees. And if you go to the last page 6 of the bill, item number 40 is what's being added to the list of acts or events which could be considered as unprofessional conduct. And in this particular case, it's dealing with real estate appraisals. And if they're being improperly influenced, that can be considered as unprofessional conduct. I won't go down through all of the potential acts that do not apply necessarily in this particular category, because I'm sure you probably already looked at this. But I would encourage your support of 1095. The Real Estate Commission is trying to do everything possible to bring the best possible real estate licensees into all the transactions in South Dakota. With that, thank you. I'll stand by for any questions you might have, Representative, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Further proponents on House Bill 1095.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman represents South Dakota Association of Realtors. And what you have in front of you is a full list of 40 unprofessional conduct items. And the Real Estate Commission has, upon a complaint, the ability to deal with these issues, and they can send a letter of reprimand, they can fine, they can revoke the license. Last year, the wording that you see in number 40 was presented, and along with the mortgage brokers, and we opposed that last year because we wanted to be consistent in the section of law that the Real Estate Commission deals with. And in the bill last year, it would have been in another section. So what we did was meet with the appraisers this summer, and we didn't disagree with the wording they had in the previous bill. In fact, this wording in number 40 is exactly what was in that bill last year that we opposed. Our main concern, again, was to have it in the area that the Real Estate Commission deals with. Now, what's unique about this particular number 40 is that it says what you can't do, and it also says what you can do. And the reason that's in there is because the majority of information that appraisers have to use comes from the real estate office or the listing agent that is dealing with the property. So we think it's in good shape. We would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1095.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Randy Vance. I operate a real estate appraisal business here in Pierre. I'm also a registered lobbyist for the Professional Appraisers Association of South Dakota. My colleagues have asked me to testify in favor of House Bill 1095. Our association introduced a bill last year similar to this. It's since been divided into House Bill 1095 and House Bill 1124 that I believe you'll see on Friday. I'm here just to represent the Professional Appraisers Association of South Dakota and myself and ask you to approve this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vance. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1095.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dennis Eastnick representing the South Dakota Real Estate Commission again. I think the important thing to understand is we have really worked with the industry on this particular bill. And we feel that even though that we may not have to use this, that this is something that we need to have in our statutes. With the increase in mortgage fraud that we have seen around the country, there is occasionally the comment that is made back to the Real Estate Commission that a realtor will somehow influence the appraiser and say, this is the number that I need. And this will address that, so that if we have that happen and it's legitimate, we will have some tool in order to enforce it. The appraisers are held to a very high standard by the rules that they have to follow. And we don't feel that we have had a lot of problem in South Dakota, but I think this is just a step for us to take to provide some additional protection. And as Dean pointed out, the part of this bill that I feel is just as important is saying what you can't do is to identify the things that you can do, which are a part of subsection 40 in A, B, C, D, and F, D, E, and F. And those would be very important criteria for the commission if we would have some case come before us to be able to look at. So I urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eisnick. Further proponents on House Bill 1095. Any additional proponents? Seeing none, we will move to opponents. Any opponents to House Bill 1095? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will open out to committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dennis, could I? We have you jumping up and down. You've got your exercise for the day.
Thank you.
I see both on page 4 and 5, the word failing or failure to put in writing, failure to put in writing any agreement to furnish, et cetera, et cetera. So full disclosure, am I correct in saying that full disclosure is really the intent of this, is one of the main intents of this bill, is that is to say if there's any relationship between the appraiser and the person seeking the appraisal, any relationship, either relative, employee, shareholder, that would have to be disclosed, but that's more like securities law, really.
What you're referring to there is existing statute now.
What is?
Yeah, and you are exactly right. You know, a full disclosure is very important to us because anybody that's entering into this transaction, and as I said before, this is probably the biggest transaction that most people will take in their life, deserves to have full disclosure about the people that are representing them or working for them. And that's one of the things that the commission looks at very closely. And we have several complaints come into our office during the year about not being very clear about disclosure. So we take that very seriously.
Follow up. Thank you. And would you be able to cite that statute for me, where, the one you just referred to, where the full disclosure requirement? I thought I saw your colleague. We can do this after the testimony, too. This is fine. I just want to read it.
I'm sorry. I can't put my finger on it.
That's fine. We'll do it afterwards. Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Seeing no further question, I'll close it to public testimony, and I will open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Dreyer.
Move do pass.
We have a motion. Representative Dreyer, do pass on House Bill 1095, seconded by Representative Krebs. Any discussion on the do pass motion? Anybody have discussion? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to try to clarify. Maybe I didn't follow correctly, but the only thing that we're looking at here, the only changes to existing statute would be contained in pages 6 and 7. The existing statute has the 39 subsections already, and if I can scroll up quick, the section of code is 3621A-71. So that'd be the reference I think that you were after. 36-21A-71. So again, that was just for, you know, an attempt at clarifying. I'm not sure if I did, but hopefully.
Further discussion on the do pass motion. prior to vote. I do know the appraisers have been up here in past years. I think they do want themselves held at a higher standard, and I really appreciate it. We've got some other bills coming on, I believe, Friday. We'll get into that when we're done with this bill. Some good pieces of legislation coming. So I commend them on working on this. It's been a couple of years, if I'm correct, that this has been tried. So patience, I guess, up here in the third floor. Having no further comments, the motion at hand is due pass on House Bill 1095. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Blake.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1095 will move to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'll move consent.
We have a motion consent by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Fargin. Any discussion?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1095 will move to the floor and be placed on the consent calendar. Due pass. Okay, that concludes our calendar for the day. For Friday, we do have a couple of bills that were held over. Just a reminder, we've got House Bill 1060, which we have previously heard testimony on. We will be taking up 1060 on Friday. On today's calendar, we had agenda. We had 1098, which I am deferring till Friday. So those will be two bills that we'll be taking up on Friday. And I'm also looking at House Bill 1099 and House Bill 1124 for Friday. I'm going to try and squeeze one more in. I want to look at these a little closer, make sure we have plenty of time to do them. But those will be four bills for sure on Friday. The agenda will be posted this afternoon. Any comments or discussion for the good of the committee? Hearing none, is there a motion? Motion by Representative Pitts to adjourn, seconded by Representative Nordstrom. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.